There are times in our lives when we need just to stop and do some reviewing. And we see that happening in Scripture oftentimes. The children of Israel, after that 40-year wandering, had come to the very edge of the Jordan River. They were about to cross over, and Moses, their great leader, was going to die there in the plains of Moab. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the entirety of the book, he reviews those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. We go just into the New Testament and we read chapter 11 of the book of Acts, and it is the Apostle Peter who reviews the conversion account of Cornelius. Peter had been commissioned by the Holy Spirit to go to this Gentile and to preach the gospel unto him. And he was the very first Gentile admitted into the church. And Peter goes before those other apostles and talks about the conversion of Cornelius in Acts the 11th chapter. We also see in Acts the 14th chapter, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas returned from their first missionary journey. It was the church at Antioch who had sent them on their way, and now they've returned and they review the entirety of what had transpired during the course of that journey. Reviews are in order. In 2022, the Oceanside congregation had a theme, did we not? And that theme very simply was this: seeking and serving the needy in 2022. When we developed that theme and talked about that theme as the leadership, the elders said that what they would like to do is to see how many individuals this congregation could help. We want to seek out and we want to search and we want to help as many individuals as we possibly can. And at the time, they chose 12 works for this congregation to support. They said that all the monies over budget would be contributed to those 12 different works. But notice, in 2022, we contributed not to 12 works, but to 15 different works. Because there were other things that happened during the course of that year, and the elders said, we're going to also do our best to help these other things that have come up during 2022. So 15 works we assisted in 2022. The title of our lesson this morning is A Review of 2022. We want to talk about these works that we have helped. The Bible tells us and exhorts us to take the gospel to the world, does it not? Jesus gave the Great Commission, and the Bible says, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. There is not a person on the face of this earth about whom God has absolutely no concern. He is concerned for all. And every church needs to reach out to the world just as far as it possibly can. And we began in Ireland, didn't we? In the month of January. We supported a minister by the name of George McNulty. George was with us a little over a year ago when we had our Catch a Vision Day. And several of you were here at that time. And George is from Ireland. He's got that Irish accent. And he excited us, did he not, with his plans and his desires to go into Ireland and to preach the gospel. And there he and his wife Christina are. And they've been over there now for a little over the course of a year preaching the gospel in Ireland. He is located in the capital city of Dublin. And I've talked to him just recently, and the work is extremely difficult. One of the largest congregations in Dublin has now taken the liberal approach to the Scripture. And because of that, many of them have had to leave that congregation, and now they are worshiping in homes, and they're having to start almost from scratch to preach the gospel in that particular city. But he's done well so far. During the month of January, we gave $8,335 over budget to preaching the gospel of Christ in Ireland to Brother George to spread the gospel. Folks, just that amount of money alone is a testament to this congregation, is it not? But let's continue. The Bible tells us that faithful men need to train faithful men who can train faithful men to preach the gospel. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, that they may be able to teach others also. One of the ways that the church has started this idea of teaching men how to preach and teach is to develop preacher training schools. And we have numerous preacher training schools scattered throughout the entirety of the world. And one of them that we chose to support was the Memphis School of Preaching, the school that I graduated from. It is under the oversight of the elders of the Forest Hill Irene Congregation in Memphis, Tennessee. Since 1966, when the school started, they have trained over 1,000 preachers of the gospel of Christ. Now, that may not seem like many, but that's quite a few men who've been trained to preach the gospel. The congregation here is very familiar with the Memphis School of Preaching. They wanted to help in the training of these individuals, and in the month of February, we contributed $6,242 over budget to the Memphis School of Preaching. Unbelievable. The Bible also tells us that we need to take the gospel to every nation, doesn't it? Again, the Great Commission in Matthew's gospel says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And there are a bunch of nations in our world, aren't there? In the month of March, we decided that we would preach the gospel to the nation of the Philippines. Many in this congregation are familiar with a missionary by the name of Michael Stock. Michael was here on one occasion and talked about the work in the Philippines. He and his wife, Deborah. And they are preaching, as we said, in the Philippines. And again, that's a difficult work, but they've been there for numerous years now, and they are doing an unbelievable work in that particular location. Many individuals are being baptized into the gospel of Christ. They've established numerous churches throughout the Philippines. The biggest problem that they face are the constant crises as far as weather is concerned in that nation. Hurricanes are constantly passing through there. The nation is constantly being flooded, and it's a very difficult time when those things transpire. Almost everything stops in order to repair things throughout the course of that nation. And we decided to help that particular work, and in the month of March, we contributed $7,716 over budget to the Philippines. I don't know if you're tidily adding these up, but folks, those monies are adding up quickly, you know that? The Scriptures also exhort us to train up children, don't they? Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the primary responsibility for the training of children is not the church, regardless of what some parents may think. The primary person responsible for training children are parents, but the church can be an adjunct, can it not? The church can be an assistant and a support system in order to help parents raise their children, and one way that is done is through Bible camps. And in the month of April, we supported the Georgia Bible Camp in Hiawatha, Georgia, just outside of Valdosta, Georgia. Folks, that camp is run every summer, usually about 5 or 6 weeks, and there are literally hundreds of young people who go through that Bible camp. What's amazing to me is, if you look at these Bible camps, most of the time, through the course of 5 or 6 weeks, a Bible camp will baptize and convert more individuals than a church will in an entire year. Isn't that amazing? It means we need to stop as the church and take a look at ourselves. But it also means that those Bible camps are doing a good job in teaching the gospel to young people. One of the needs at the Georgia Bible Camp was new cabins that are out there. And a new cabin was going to cost $12,500, and we made that known. And the congregations contributed $9,718 to a new cabin. Not long ago, Brother Dylan Guthrie called me. He says, "Vic, a member of your congregation has agreed to pick up the rest of that support for that cabin. $2,800 more that was contributed. So we have contributed $12,518 for a new cabin at Georgia Bible Camp. That's over our budgeted amount for that particular month. What's interesting about that cabin is they're going to have Oceanside Church of Christ mounted on the side of that. And it'll be there for years and years and years, hopefully. People will walk by that. Who's that? Oh, that's that congregation over there in Atlantic Beach who built this cabin. That makes me feel pretty good. I don't know about you. Jesus told His disciples that they would be witnesses unto Him throughout the uttermost part of the world in Acts 1 verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I don't know about you, but Ukraine sounds like the uttermost part of the earth to me. And the congregation here decided that we were going to do our best to help in Ukraine this year. Remember at the very first of the year, Russia invaded Ukraine, did they not? Ukraine's located just right next to Russia and right next to the Black Sea. And Russia invaded that particular country and started bombing it like crazy. And folks, there is total devastation in that realm. And members of the Lord's church have been impacted by that invasion as well. And so we decided we wanted to assist those congregations. We found a church in Montgomery, Alabama, the Del Rado Church of Christ, who has missionaries who work in that particular place. And we contributed $6,059 to that particular work. But notice there is a plus $1,000 that is there. A couple of months before we had the month of May roll around, we were contacted by a member of the church here in the United States whose family lives in Ukraine. And their family member had called them and said, "We've been called to go out to battle and we have absolutely no body armor whatsoever." Can you imagine going out to the battlefield and having nothing on except just your regular clothes? And so they were asking for assistance to help this individual with body armor, and we contributed $1,000 in addition to that $6,059 for that individual's body armor. So total, we contributed $7,059 to Ukraine. Not a bad amount of money. The Bible tells us that Samuel established the schools of the prophets, and the purpose was to train men to be prophets of the Almighty God, to learn the Word of God and then be able to go out and speak forth the Word of God to the nation of Israel and others. We also read that Jesus trained His disciples, did He not? He chose 12 men and for 3.5 years He focused on them and He trained them to the best of His ability to become preachers of the gospel. And my friends, it's essential that same training is done for men today. Now, a man can become a preacher without going to a preacher training school, but let me tell you what, a preacher training school sure does help you a lot. Remember what Jesus told His disciples? "Come, follow Me, and I will" what? "Make you fishers of men." I will make you fishers of men. There was going to be training involved in the process. So in the month of June, we supported another man in a preacher training school, the Southwest School of Preaching in Austin, Texas. The man's name is Jonathan Gutierrez. We heard of Jonathan through his father. His father's name is Cesar. He is a minister in Honduras in Latin America. We originally were going to support Cesar, but once we raised the funds for that work, we did everything we possibly could in order to get those monies down to him, and we just could not find a good way to do that. So he told us, "Well, my son is going to be going to the Southwest School of Preaching," and so we decided that's where we would send our money. There's his son, Jonathan, his wife, and his little daughter, and they are presently enrolled in the Southwest School of Preaching in Austin, Texas. In that month, we gave $5,105 over budget in order to support Jonathan in his training to be a gospel preacher. Now, he's not going to stay in the United States. He's going to go back down into Latin America and go down and preach the gospel to his own culture and to his own people once he graduates. In Matthew 25:36, we find the judgment scene, don't we? Jesus is sitting there before all nations, and there's a group on his left hand and there's a group on his right hand, and to those on his right hand he speaks these words, "I was in prison and ye came unto me." We need to be concerned about those who are in prison. And this congregation has been for as long as I've been a part of this congregation. We have always supported the Florida Prison Ministry on a regular basis through our contribution. But the elder said, if we're supporting a work regularly, then we ought to be able to raise money in addition to that to assist them. And so they put Florida Prison Ministry on our schedule to help last year during July. Folks, these individuals go into the prison system and they do their best to preach and teach and convert as many of those men as possible. And they've come here numerous times and have spoken. I was gone the last time when they came and spoke, and I heard that they did a fantastic job talking about what they had done in that prison system. I refer to it as a transformation ministry. When you talk to prison officials and those who have to deal with criminals on a regular basis, one of the things that they'll tell you is this: it is almost impossible to rehab a criminal, especially a criminal who continues to violate the law over and over and over and over again. And they say that there's only one power, there's only one way, there's only one thing that's effective to truly change the heart of an individual, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what the Bible says? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse 2. And that's what we're attempting to do, aren't we? We go into the prison. We take the gospel. We want those men to be radically changed. We want that old man of sin to die and a new creature in Christ Jesus to be developed. And during the course of July, we gave $9,276 over budget to the Florida Prison Ministry. August rolls around and we're focused again on mission work. The Bible tells us that the gospel, the purpose of the gospel, is to cut through all racial, cultural, and language barriers. In Acts the 15th chapter, there is a conference that's called. And the reason that it's called is because the Gentiles have been accepted into the church, and the question is, what do we need to do with them, and what is going to be required of these particular individuals? And on that occasion, Peter, who converted the very first Gentile, stands up and says this, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear witness, giving them the Holy Ghost as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." If you had lived in the first century and you were a Jew, it would have not been uncommon for you to despise a Gentile. Not just despise a Gentile, but I mean to totally hate that individual. And you would have absolutely no contact with that individual whatsoever. And if you were a Gentile, you knew how the Jews felt about you. And oftentimes you too had a hatred and a spite for the Jewish nation. And yet now, what does the gospel do? The gospel brings those nations together. Question: are races and cultures and languages and tongues divided throughout the course of the world? Oh, yes. In fact, right here in the United States, we're that way, aren't we? And it seems as though it just continues to get worse and worse and worse rather than better. And the one thing that God wants, He wants us to quit looking at the color of our skin, quit looking at our culture, quit looking at our tongues and our languages, and just look at what? The hearts and souls of mankind. Folks, it doesn't matter what the people look like to whom we go and preach the gospel. And in August, we supported the Chamala Mission in Africa. A good friend of mine by the name of Hal Ferguson oversees that work. And we brought Hal in and he talked about that work some. Right there's where Tanzania is. And they have a huge compound that's there. And they do unbelievable work. There's a hospital there. There are schools there. In fact, two schools that are there. They train preachers on that particular location. And since the Chamala Mission has been there, there have been hundreds of churches that have been established not only in Tanzania but throughout the continent of Africa because of this particular mission work. And during that month, we gave $12,322 to Chamala Mission. Huge amount of money, isn't it? That's over our budget again. And we're glad to do so. In Acts chapter 2, the apostles were blessed with the gift of tongues, weren't they? And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time, and when individuals heard that, they were amazed, the Bible says, and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man speak in our own language wherein we were born?" We don't have the gift of tongues today, do we? And it makes the spread of the gospel a little bit more difficult today. Because we have to do one of two things. Either the missionary has to learn the language, or the missionary has to get a translator to go with him. And that's what we do oftentimes. We go down to Latin American missions. That work is overseen by a congregation in Valdosta, Georgia, the Lake Forest congregation. And they have been preaching the gospel in Latin America for years and years and years. In fact, now they've even gone into South America. There's a huge compound that's down in Latin America where they train preachers of the gospel there as well. There's a hospital there. There's a children's home that is there. Those individuals have been training preachers for years to go out throughout Latin America. And now all of those individuals help missionaries who come down there to preach the gospel of Christ. And that month we gave $6,751 to Latin American missions over budget. Still got a lot to go, don't we? The early church oftentimes would send funds to individuals who needed assistance. In Acts the 11th chapter, there was a huge famine in Judea. And when the brethren heard about that, they collected funds and immediately they sent those funds to those hurting brethren. Notice, then the disciples, everyone according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which were in Judea, which also they did, and sent it unto the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. When there was a crisis, when brethren were in need, other brethren would rise up and assist to the best of their ability. Last October, we had a work plan. We were going to support Jet Smith in the School of Preaching in Warner Robins. It's known as the Georgia School of Theology. That was a 5-Sunday month. Well, Hurricane Ian came through South Florida. And folks, the destruction was awful, was it not? When the elders heard about it, they said, you know, this is a 5-Sunday month. We're going to take one of those Sundays and we're going to dedicate that to the disaster relief in South Florida. And we're also going to support Jet Smith with the rest of those funds. In the course of that month, we raised $7,233 for Jet Smith in the preaching of the gospel and training of the gospel. On that one Sunday, we raised $3,722 to send for disaster relief in South Florida. Folks, that's a total of $10,955 over budget just in October for those two works. Paul entered the city of Corinth in Acts the 18th chapter. And Corinth was a wicked city, just as vile as it could be. And when Paul entered into that city, he entered into it all by himself. And listen to what he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now listen to this next statement. "And I was with you in" what? "Weakness and fear and much trembling." 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2 and 3. Can you imagine being the only preacher, the only minister of the gospel in one of the most wicked and vile cities on all the earth and having to stand up and preach the gospel to those individuals? We've got some nations throughout our world that are a little bit more difficult than others. And folks, one of those is China and Asia, isn't it? China is not a godly country. It is a socialist, Marxist nation, and for the most part, it is just as atheistic as it can possibly be. There are fewer churches in Asia than in anywhere else in the world as far as population is concerned. And Brother John Grubb has been working over there since the early 80s. We found out that that work existed. We decided we were going to help him. He goes into China. He goes into Malaysia. He goes into other areas in order to preach the gospel. He's translating English into the Mandarin language in order to hand out publications to those individuals. There's Brother John and his wife Beatrix. There's a preacher training school that is there. It is known as the Four Seas College of Bible and Missions. And they are doing what those other preacher training schools are doing in Latin America and in other places, training men and sending them out into those Asian nations to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the month of November, we raised $5,602 over budget for that particular work. But we had one more month, didn't you? And it's Christmas, and we're all buying gifts. And surely it's going to be a low month. Well, the Bible tells us that we're to practice pure religion, doesn't it? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To what? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, the Bible says. God has a deep, deep place in His heart for children who are struggling and children who are hurting and suffering. We support two mission works on a regular basis, the Mount Dora Children's Home in Mount Dora, Florida, and also the Raintree Village Children's Home in Valdosta, Georgia. But the elder said, you know, since we're already supporting them, let's put them on our list to support. And so we did. Both Mount Dora and Raintree Village. Now think about that. Whatever money is contributed during the month of December has to be split in half, and they'll each get a half part. Folks, during the month of December, you contributed $8,121 over budget. Those two works received over $4,000 each. In other words, we tripled, in fact, over tripled our contribution to those two works because of your contribution during the month of December. Now, we've had a lot of numbers, hadn't we? And I know in your mind you've been adding all of this up, but I just want you to see it one more time. Ireland, $8,335. Memphis School of Preaching, $6,242. Philippines, $7,116. Georgia Bible Camp, folks, that's over $10,000, that's over $12,000 given to Georgia Bible Camp. In fact, $12,518, I believe. Ukraine, $7,059. Jonathan Gutierrez in the School of Preaching, $5,105. Florida School of Preaching, $9,276. Chamala Mission, $12,322. In September, Latin American Missions, $6,551. Jet Smith and Disaster Relief, $10,955. November, Asia Missions, $5,602. Children's Homes, $8,121. for a grand total of $100,002. $100,002. That's over budget. In other words, we met our budgeted amount every week and then went over $100,000 last year. Sometimes we don't recognize what we do when we talk about this kind of stuff. Have you ever gone anywhere and somebody asks you, where do you go to worship? Oh, I'm a member of the Oceanside congregation. What's the next question they ask? Where's that? They don't have a clue. I go all over the place. I'm even the preacher here. I go all over the place. Oceanside, where's that? What's in Atlantic Beach? Well, where's that? It just gets worser and worser. We're just a small congregation. We have an attendance around 45 to 60, maybe a little bit higher occasionally. And we're located right there in Little Atlantic Beach, aren't we? But we preached the gospel last year in Ireland, didn't we? We sent money to train preachers at the Memphis School of Preaching. We preached the gospel in the Philippines. We supported Georgia Bible Camp. We preached the gospel of Christ and gave aid in Ukraine. We supported Jonathan Gutierrez at a school of preaching here in the States. We supported the Florida Prison Ministry. We supported Chamala Ministry, Latin American Missions, Jet Smith, and Disaster Relief in Florida. We supported the China work and also Mount Dora and Rain Tree Village. 15 different works. Folks, that's a lot of stars. You know that? That's a lot of places where this congregation has never been involved in times past. Now, a lot of that's in the States, isn't it? But we need money here in the States as much as we do throughout the entirety of the world. And we're training men to go out into the world and preach the gospel too, aren't we? In the use of those funds. Now here's something I want you to understand. I preach this lesson not to brag, but just to give you the facts. Because I think we need to know as a congregation what we've done and how well we've done. The Oceanside congregation has given bountifully to the work of the church in 2022. And you are to be commended as a church. Now note this. There's four hopes that I have with regard to what we did the last 52 weeks. Number one, it is hoped that we have saved the souls of individuals who are lost. Isn't it? That's why we've given a lot of this money. In fact, most of the money. Also, we want God to be glorified, don't we? Folks, we can keep that money in our pockets, go out and buy us a car, go out and buy some clothes, go get our dentures, whatever we need to do. What glory does that bring to God? Nothing. When we give to the Lord's work, God is glorified, is He not? Notice this next one. Hopefully, we've set an example for other congregations. There have been numerous churches that I've told about what we've done, and they say, man, what an idea. And when they find out that it has been successful, maybe they'll go home and implement that in their congregations. What if we could get 100 congregations that would support various works in the brotherhood, $100,000 over budget? Because we're talking now millions of dollars going to the Lord's cause. And maybe Oceanside can be an example for that. And lastly, I hope that we as a congregation have been edified. There's been a lot of times in times past wherein we've struggled and we've wondered from week to week to week how we're going to make it. Are we going to make it? Special contributions to make up the lack of contributions. Not this year. We've been so far over that it is mind-boggling almost. And you and I need to look back on that, and we need to be built up. And now what we need to be doing is this. What are we going to do in 2023? What's the mission? Can we accomplish it? It may not be giving like we have this past year, but folks, there's things that need to be done. And we've shown we can meet goals if we set our mind to it. I don't know about you. I'm proud to be a member of the Oceanside Congregation, and I hope that you are. And if we're really proud of it, maybe we'll go out and maybe we'll start talking to people about what we've done and who we are, and try to evangelize and build up the congregation. If you're not a member of Oceanside, we want you to be. We got good people here, don't we? The steps of becoming a Christian are simple. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of sins, confess Jesus' name, and they're immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, and God immediately adds you to His church. Do you need to do that? Maybe you're an erring Christian and you need to come back. You've not been faithful. You've not been steadfast, dedicated. Now's the time to repent of that. First day of the year, start off in a right relationship with the Almighty God. Do you need to repent? Ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?